This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Eek. This is the third episode of our pandemic preparedness mini-series for this month. And today we're looking at whether private hospitals are ready in this fight against COVID-19. Now, private hospitals have been in the news a lot in recent days, along with the declaration of the state of emergency for Malaysia last week. A related development was the announcement by the Prime Minister that emergency ordinances can be enacted to cover the use of private hospital assets to deal with the pandemic. On the heels of that, a lot of other issues have been raised regarding the role of private hospitals in testing and treating COVID-19 patients. So on the show with me today, Dato' Dr. Kuljit Singh, President of the Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia. I'll be finding out from him where private hospitals have been in this fight against COVID-19 and what they can do, because we've been hearing so much of this whole of society approach to fighting this pandemic. How are you today, Dato' Kuljit?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
So, Dato' Kuljit, you met with the Prime Minister and senior representatives of the Ministry of Health recently. Can you share what were the results of your discussions?
We met the Prime Minister on the day the announcement was made about the emergency. And it was a coincidental meeting because we had gone to see the Prime Minister on a pre-planned appointment on the health economics related issues to the COVID. But in the same time, as he made the announcement, it was an hour after the announcement, we spoke to the Prime Minister and we assured him that private hospitals will be very supportive and will be helping out in the COVID management for the simple fact that the entire 2020 Malaysian government, Malaysian hospital has taken up the treatment of COVID exclusively, which is very commendable. In the world, very few countries in the world where the government has taken this up in an exclusive manner. So with that, I think it has been a good approach from the government and we're willing to help out.
But I want to find out more from you what this emergency ordinance on the government use of private hospital assets would mean.
I think the emergency ordinance is not specifically for healthcare, for the private hospitals. The emergency ordinance, if you look at the ordinance, there are many aspects of the other areas where the Prime Minister requires the emergency ordinance to get this COVID brought to a level which is safe, and also bringing down the numbers. So I think it's just by the way, as the emergency ordinance has been implemented and the health care, private health care involvement is kind of mentioned within. So I don't think the emergency ordinance was specifically meant so that private hospitals will join in into the COVID management, because we were willing, even from last year, to help out the government in managing COVID together.
Some reports seemed to indicate that the emergency ordinance and the state of emergency, it gives room for a nationalization of private healthcare assets, which paints a picture of, private hospitals and their services being taken over by the government if the public side can't cope. What do you think of that?
There was no real mention, if you look into his written text, that there was no mention about nationalization of private hospitals. There was never a mention. And when we spoke to him, he didn't comment on that. He said all that what he needs is the private hospitals to help us, help the government. Not in terms of nationalization, even up to our latest discussion with the ministry, the talk is using and managing on our own patients that have COVID. Nowhere it has been mentioned where private hospitals will be taken over by the government. It is we take over some management of the COVID-19. That's what it's been said. But there's a lot of been translation of probably the media or the public that it may mean that they look at it as a takeover. It is not a takeover.
So let's go back to the beginning of this pandemic last year. And, you know, we heard even then that private hospitals were already prepared to support by taking on non-COVID cases, for instance, you know, decanted from public hospitals. So can you explain a little bit about how private hospitals have been prepared to support throughout this pandemic?
Well, we were actually prepared to assist the government from the beginning. In fact, 3 days after the first MCO, I had made a media statement to say that we are ready to assist in whichever way they would want. But in a very correct manner, Ministry of Health felt that they would be able to manage it because the learning curve for COVID-19 is pretty steep. And if you get everyone managing it, no one is going to get it right. At that point of time, nobody understood how COVID-19 would behave. Now, that has actually helped the Ministry of Health to actually get the grasp of how COVID-19 behaves, what is the way that to manage it correctly. And I think they got it right. Of course, the numbers are high, not because of Ministry of Health, it's because the public has gone out and no social distancing. And that, of course, is another matter. So we have given them assistance, even at that point of time, by supporting them by providing ventilators for our hospitals. We give them about 75 ventilators from all over the country so that they can use these ventilators in case they need, because that is what they required at that point of time. Fortunately, they didn't use them because they managed it pretty well. We give them dialysis slots in private center at a very nominal price to send the dialysis patients to private. We also offered to take over some non-COVID patients from their side to manage. Which happened because they allocated a budget for it, which was very good, till end of last year. So all these activities we have been doing very closely. We had close meetings with the Ministry of Health from time to time. And we followed exactly what Ministry of Health has asked us to do and to support them all the way through the entire 2020. Now again in 2021, there's a different need now. We are happy, and we're discussing with them.
All right. Let's go for a quick break. I'm speaking to Dato' Dr. Kuljit Singh, President of the Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia. We're discussing where private hospitals are in the fight against COVID-19 because there have been a lot of recent developments regarding how private hospitals can treat patients, deal with COVID-19 patients, where their resources can be used alongside public health resources that are admittedly quite strained during this massive wave. We'll be right back on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik. I'm speaking to Dato' Dr. Kuljit Singh, President of the Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia. We're discussing the role of private hospitals during this pandemic. Now, a lot has been reported in the media in recent days about possible emergency ordinances that may include private healthcare assets, about the role of private hospitals and their ability to treat COVID-19 patients and, where perhaps even laws may be imposed if necessary to compel private hospitals to treat. So that's something that was just quoted by Senior Defence Minister Ismail Sabri. So that's what I would like to discuss with Dato' Kuljit today. So you've already explained that right from the beginning of the pandemic, private hospitals were prepared to take in non-COVID patients, and you have done so in a fashion by providing subsidized dialysis, for instance, as you said, by being prepared to provide ventilators to the public hospitals. So now we are in the picture is very different from the picture last year, and we are looking at a situation where even the health DG himself has said that public hospitals are stretched in terms of resources already. Now, what's the situation with treating COVID patients, Dr. Kuljit? Are private hospitals allowed to treat these patients?
Okay, the part of whether we are allowed not to allow to do COVID treatment, it's a call that is made by the Ministry of Health, because this is an infectious disease and there are certain requirements in certain areas whereby when you would want to treat a pandemic, it has to meet certain criteria. Now, that criteria, Ministry of Health has most likely allowed now that the private hospitals should be able to manage COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
So that is probably not an issue anymore, because now clearly the Ministry of Health has directed that the private hospitals should be treating COVID-19. Now, in terms of preparedness in the private hospital, private hospitals are of various types, similar mm-hmm. to what you have in a government hospital. You have small private hospitals, you have big private hospitals. We are looking at the capacity and the capability of private hospitals. Some private hospitals are really small. They may only have two or three ICU beds at the most, and maybe about 60 beds at the least. So we have to look at the individual capacity and capability of a private hospital in order to take in COVID patients. And at the same time, because private hospitals do not have a subsidized structure like what we have in the government hospital, whereby they are supported by the Ministry of Finance in terms of their procurement, in terms of their costing, whereas in private hospitals, we don't have that. So at the same time, we would want to help to do COVID. We do not want to overburden the public sector. We might look into the hybrid way of managing this, that we will treat some COVID patients and also treat some of our normal, regular patients. We do not want to deny care to the other patients who need other kind of care. At the same time, keeping it safe so that there is no contamination across over to the other patients. So because of this, private hospitals are now looking at their structure, looking at which private hospital will be able to do more, which private hospital would be able to do just bare minimum. The spirit behind it is we would want to help, but at the same time, we do not want to cause a disaster by taking on these patients, and then we are not able to do it in the right way. So at this stage, we are actually discussing, trying to learn, trying to assimilate all the correct steps that the Ministry of Health has done with their patients so that we don't make errors in the process of treating COVID patients. So that is what's going on right now. So short answer is yes, we are ready for it, but we are looking into our processes to make sure we get it right.
Who decides then when a hospital is deemed suitable and ready? Will Ministry of Health come in and actually look at the preparation that you've done?
Well, we are not sure what the processes would be, and I'm sure that would be the steps that the Ministry of Health will take. For example, when we last year approached the Ministry of Health and told them that we want to do COVID testing. Initially, COVID testing was only exclusively done by a government facility. But we, at least another thing that we actually offered, we told the Ministry of Health, we will also do COVID testing. And when we offered to do COVID testing, Ministry of Health actually came to our hospital to assess whether the COVID testing is done in a correct manner, safe manner, and whether our staff are trained to do the COVID testing in a correct way, which was very good because this is what we require. So I guess I'm not saying anything at this stage, but I guess that would be the step that the Ministry of Health will take to make sure the people receiving COVID treatment will get the correct kind of treatment in a safe manner, even in a private hospital. I'm just saying this looking back at an example when we wanted to do COVID testing in private sector last year.
All right. So taking into consideration everything you described about the preparation, when will private hospitals be ready to, you know, really support full-fledged?
Well, it is difficult to answer when, as the cases are escalating at a pretty steep rate. To multiply that in a week, an average 2,000 to 3,000, we are looking at 14,000 to 15,000 patients a week. So definitely the need is already there at our doorstep. So I think, in my opinion, it would be as soon as possible.
Yeah, this is definitely a case of, you know, we needed it yesterday kind of thing. You know, Ismail Sabri has also said that private hospitals can be fined, 5 million ringgit fine, or with jail time if they refuse to admit Category 1 and 2 COVID-19 patients. I want to talk about that a little bit. Have there been private hospitals who refuse to admit these patients, and why?
No, we have been receiving, to be fair to the private hospitals, no private hospital has denied any care or receiving patients with COVID-1 or COVID-2 or even at a stage where the patient is worse. To my knowledge, no private hospital has sent away the patient, except probably sending the patient to a government facility. Once the bed is available, we sell. But if there is no availability of bed, we do treat patients, COVID category 1, category 2, and even category 3 or 4, I was made to understand that one or two private hospitals are having these patients already mm-hmm. in their care, pending for a bed in a private facility. So the notion to say that private hospitals are not accepting, that is not true. But the defense minister, probably just wanted to inform that there is a penalty should there be a breach in this process of not accepting patients. Mm. But in reality, no one has not accepted. If you have a patient on doorstep, it's ethically wrong not to treat the patient if there is no availability care in another facility, let it be a government facility. So we do this for every patient, regardless whether it's COVID or non-COVID. We do treat the patient accordingly. And if there is a question of transfer, we will make sure we transfer the patient. But the care does not stop.
So, like you said, you're sort of a transit point while waiting for the beds in the government hospitals, the COVID government hospitals, to become available where you can transfer, right?
Yes.
All right.
At this moment, at this point of time.
Mm-hmm.
But as things are getting bad, it is going to be where the government hospitals will not be able to accept because their capacity will be full. So we will have to carry on managing the patient or maybe managing the patient up to the entire management is completed because we may not get a space in the government facility at all, looking at the numbers.
So along with that comes the question of cost, of course. How much will it cost, especially for the Category 3 patients who may need ventilators and ICUs?
Okay, the cost could be anything like any critical care patient that we have. Regardless whether it's COVID or non-COVID, the ventilating a patient in an ICU in a private setting is pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being is not because we make huge profits out of it, is because the cost of maintaining and getting the equipment, the staffing, all that is pretty expensive in a private setting. It is equally expensive in a government setting because many people think it's free in the government, but it is not free in the government because somebody is paying that cost in the in a government setting. So question is, who is going to pay? Well, we have spoken to the insurance industry yesterday, and we urge them that patients who have got a medical card, ideally they should take up the cost. Right now, many insurers are saying that it is a pandemic and we do not cover pandemics. So, which is something we are negotiating with them, not for our sake, it's actually for the sake of the client, for the sake of the patient, that the patient should be able to claim. The overall cost may not be expensive. If you're looking at category 1, 2, and 3, there's not much of medications involved. Only category 4 and 5, when there's intubation, the cost may be just like any other intensive care. So the insurance companies have not come back to us whether they're going to cover, but we have made it very clear to them that it's their client that they need to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And we will still have a cost, either the patient pays out of pocket or the patient gets it from the insurance. We are going to come to a stage where we may be looking after government-referred patients, which may happen at a much later stage, which we hope it doesn't. But if it happens, then we have to negotiate with the government to compensate our cost of treating these patients.
What does government-referred patients mean?
Meaning to say, this is a stage which we hope it doesn't happen, but should it happen, that the government cannot cope up with their patients arriving at their doorstep and they cannot admit them and they may refer them to a private setting. So when that happens, these patients obviously do not have the capacity to pay. Then private hospitals will have to discuss with MOF, with the government, on the compensation of the cost that it's going to incur on us to treat those patients. So that phase is going to come soon. We are taking step by step. We do not want to indulge on the cost immediately, but we let us get prepared for it. But definitely cost is a big factor in private sector. We have to get the cost from somewhere in order to sustain COVID treatment.
I understand that you are saying that this may not be happening yet and you hope it won't come to that point, but shouldn't these discussions already be happening now?
I think the portals of discussions are already open. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, the leaders of the GLC hospitals, government-linked hospitals, they have had a closed-door meeting with the Minister of Finance. I'm not privy to what was discussed within, but I am very sure this discussion, of course, would have occurred. And I think Minister of Finance, they are aware of this. And I am, as the president, we have not discussed it yet, but I think it's a matter of very short time that we'll be discussing this.
All right. So have there been instances where patients, COVID patients, have to be treated in private hospitals, but simply can't afford the critical care costs at the end of the day? Are hospitals prepared to waive payment, for instance?
Well, I cannot give you an example because so far, if you look at 2020, almost every patient was sent to the government setting successfully. So there was hardly any patient that we had to treat the patient in ICU and whereby we came to this situation that the patient can't afford. We haven't gone, we haven't had an example as yet. So then again, if this happens and it is a national emergency right now, and if you look at the document signed by the Yandi Pratuan Agong, there are many clauses there that say that we have the capability of negotiating a fee costing with the government. It is there in the clause. So we will definitely do that. But we cannot waive, because if we start waiving, then private hospitals will start closing up one by one because the cost is very high. Mm-hmm. And that's the worst thing that can happen, because you close a private hospital, you're closing a facility. And we cannot afford to close a health facility at this point of time.
Even, you know, very recent reports that Ministry of Health is directing private hospitals to open a minimum of 10% of their beds for COVID admissions. And like you said, private hospitals are preparing a sort of hybrid situation where you can also treat non-COVID and your existing patients. So, you know, if this is the picture in the near future, how is it going to affect your business model as well as existing patients who rely on the care that they've been receiving from the hospitals?
Okay, in the new norms, what we are facing in 2020 and also 2021, yes, business will get affected. I don't see anybody's business will flourish in this kind of situation. We have already embraced a loss in 2020. Many of the private hospitals in Malaysia rely a lot on medical tourists, which we have got almost nil the entire 2020. So with this, yes, there will be an effect to the business. And then again, as I said, we do not have any other revenue or support. So we will have to balance it such a way that to keep ourselves sustainable in the whole business, at the same time, look after COVID patients. We have to try to strike a balance. Otherwise, we will close down. So, or rather closing down, we have to find a way, maybe allocate 10% or even more. We want to help at the same time also have a revenue to keep the business going.
Mm. What would it look like, that striking that balance? What kind of strategies do you foresee?
There could be a lot of strategies that individual hospitals will have to look into. From the association point of view, we really cannot make any suggestion, because every hospital group, single hospitals, they may have their own expenses, their own incomes, and their own way of managing their business. So I think every private hospital or private hospital group will have to innovate methods in circumventing this particular situation.
Mm.
So as an association, I may not have an answer for that. But the hospitals on their own, as I say, will definitely find a way to innovate a methodology to overcome this.
Mm. So one concern is that you may have to hike up patients' fees. What do you think?
Well, I think that would not be something that that private hospitals would want to do at this stage, because we are probably trying our best to stay afloat, to actually help to get the pandemic done. Because once the pandemic is over and everything gets back, then business will be as usual. And to suddenly hike up at this stage is probably not the right thing to do. Having said that, the same thing we did mention to the insurance companies yesterday, that we are taking a lot of loss. They should also come in to help out, with especially with the client, because they have a huge clientele of patients with medical cards. At least those patients we can take up and lessen the burden of the government. And we must remember in 2020, premiums ran as usual. Patients were paying their premiums for their medical cards as usual. And from our statistics, we can see a lot of private patients did not seek treatment in private hospitals because of the pandemic. So if you look at it, the claims were probably, I'm just giving my own opinion, that I believe there should be enough of financial support, or financial support that the insurers can give at this stage, looking at the dynamics of what happened financially last year on the end. So we are trying our best that we can sustain without going to the client or to the patient and loading them with more expenses. We just want to make sure that we can sustain. That is what we're looking at this stage.
All right. And very quickly, Dr. Kuljit, on testing, private hospitals are providing PCR tests for those who choose to do tests on their own. And in fact, the cost of these tests, which were initially quite high, came down significantly in the early part of the pandemic. Do you think costs can be reduced further in the private setting, especially as people have to do multiple tests and, you know, with MOH saying that they will only test those with symptoms, perhaps people feel like they want to go to the private sector to get tested?
Well, again, costing in healthcare is always a challenge. Every private hospital would want to be competitive with each other. And at the same time, our running cost stays. Most private hospitals did not sack or let their staff go during the pandemic. One of the industries that I would say that we didn't do that. So our operating cost is still the same. It has not changed whether your income is more or less. Unlike other industries, you could say that, okay, I will send half of my nurses back home, sit at home, don't do anything. We kept on having our staff working because in our hospital license, in order to have a hospital of 200 beds, you need to have X number of staff working. Even your wards could be empty. Because of that, the cost remains to be the same. So to bring the cost very low means we will lose. We will have a deficit in our budget. And when we have too much of deficit, yes, we can absorb it for a while, but after some time, it doesn't work out. Then we will have to actually close down the hospitals. So cost is something which is very challenging to go really rock bottom because, as I mentioned earlier, the expenditure still runs the same.
In that case, a lot of people have been recommending the use of the rapid tests as a more affordable alternative. Do private hospitals currently provide rapid testing?
We follow guidelines that is provided by the Minister of Health because rapid test has got its limitation.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas PCR test is more conclusive, the false negative and false positives are lesser in a PCR test. So we follow gold standard because it is very difficult to do a rapid test and then to be 100% sure that the rapid test is 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, to be safe, for the sake of patient safety and the sake of the safety of our healthcare providers, we would rather be on the safe side. by doing a PCR test than doing a rapid test in that manner. But anyhow, we follow the guidelines that are provided by the Ministry of Health, and we do it in that manner so that we don't do something which is detrimental to everyone.
Sure. Along with testing, it comes the issue of collecting data, which for a public health emergency like this, the Ministry of Health has been doing. So I just want to get a picture. If private hospitals start taking on a load of treating COVID-19 patients, how does data collection and sharing work? Is there already a system in place for standardization?
We have been having this system for many years, not just now. Any infectious disease that we treat in a private hospital, let alone COVID. COVID is something new. Even, for example, you take dengue, for that matter, or any other infectious disease which is classified under the Infectious Disease Act, they are all reportable. So we report to the Ministry of Health, even if we have any kind of infectious disease that is classified in that particular group. So this data is ongoing. It's not just for now. So COVID will be the same. So the moment we have a COVID, we will report to the Ministry of Health. We have got the portals of reporting to the Ministry of Health. So data collection will be there. That's not something new.
All right. Lastly, just very quickly on vaccination, looking ahead to when the vaccines do arrive in batches in Malaysia, what do you see could be the role of private hospitals in supporting a mass vaccination program?
Okay, what we were made to understand, the phase one of the vaccination would be the high-risk group and the healthcare providers. The Ministry of Health has already ask private hospitals to supply data of their healthcare providers so that they could be able to identify all the healthcare providers, whether you're public, private, or general practitioner. So that one step shows to us that they're going to do it across the board, whether you're in public or private. Now, when it comes to patients, they haven't come up with guidelines yet on the private hospitals, but I think that will come out pretty soon. How would they inoculate the high-risk public in the phase one?
Mm-hmm.
And in my belief, looking at the trend of discussion that we had for the healthcare workers, I believe they would do it across the board.
Mm-hmm. But how do you see private hospitals being able to support, especially for the rest of us who will eventually get the vaccine?
Yeah, the vaccine will be free of charge because it is paid fully by the government. And of course, you come to the private hospitals, there will be a small fee for the syringe and for the gauze. And I think it will be done quite seamlessly because looking at the way we did the testing for COVID, it was done quite seamlessly. You can go to a government facility or private facility. I don't think if you can test COVID, vaccinating will not be a big issue. It will be done quite seamlessly. But I'm sure Ministry of Health will have their guidelines on how it will be done. There will be element of training. There will be element of whereby they will come and check our facilities to make sure that we are in order. There's one thing good of Ministry of Health in Malaysia. I can't comment about other countries. Everything that we do for the sake of the people, they do come and check to make sure we are doing it correctly and it is safe. So I'm very happy that, you know, we have such kind of a relationship with the Ministry of Health. They are not there to reprimand us, but they are there to actually help us to get it right. So if you, even for testing, they came and saw our facilities to make sure we are doing it in the right way.
Mm.
And I think that's superb, you know.
And if private hospitals are involved in mass vaccination, do you have the infrastructure in place, especially for the ultra-low temperature vaccines?
Well, I think the ultra-low vaccine should not be a problem because what we were told, the companies like Pfizer, we have their own collecting center, and we would just collect the vaccine from the collecting center, inoculate it on that very day. Again, the details are not out yet. For the ultra cold vaccine, and how do we do the other two two vaccines that those detailed guidelines are not out yet.
All right. Do you have a final message, Dr. Kuljit?
I think we must tell the people and also the government that the private hospitals are definitely with the government. We want to help. There are a little bit of skepticism sometimes even with some healthcare providers, but it is always when you do not have done something, you will be a bit worried. Ministry of Health has done it successfully, and it is for us to learn from them how to get it done. Because if you don't do it, then you can expect a lot of people will suffer and also will not get due course of treatment in COVID. We have to help each other. Otherwise, patients are going to suffer. There's no place. If the government cannot absorb them, somebody has to help. If there's a capacity, a capability available somewhere, like here in private, we should be able to help, but without causing a disaster. And we shouldn't say we can help and then we can't do it correctly. That is also not good. So we will definitely, as I gave the assurance to the Prime Minister, we are here to help.
Mm-hmm.
But we will help according to our capability and capacity.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kuljit. I've been speaking to Dr. Kuljit Singh, President of the Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia. This has been the third episode of our Pandemic Preparedness mini-series. Today, we were discussing whether private hospitals are ready in the fight against COVID-19. You can listen to the first two episodes of this mini-series by searching for Pandemic Preparedness on our BFM app or on bfm.my or anywhere where you get BFM podcasts. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.